Hey, this is Justin Asiri from Beyond the Uniform. It's Saturday, June 8th. Actually, it's not Saturday, June 8th. It's right now, Friday afternoon. I'm recording this in advance from the past. You are hearing past Justin. If you are new to Beyond the Uniform, normally I meet with military veterans. We talk about their career, what they do, how they got there, advice for other veterans seeking to do the same. We also talk to experts. We talk to people who can add value to the military community, and the goal is to help military families and their spouses succeed in their civilian career. That's our Monday-Thursday format, but our Saturday format, our somewhat impromptu Saturday format, is more free-form. It's just no script, maybe some notes jotted on a sticky note, and just some random thoughts. And I like to use what I call the mullet format. The amazing hairstyle of mullet, which is business up front, party in the back. So I'll cover a couple topics today, and I'll front load the stuff that's more career or profession related, and then I'll back load the stuff that's just more free form thoughts and musings on life, relationship, things like that. If you don't like this format, Monday, we've got an incredible interview with Natalie Oliverio. I can't remember how to pronounce her last name, but she is awesome. And the whole week, Monday, Thursday combos are pretty incredible. So here's the business up front stuff. First of all, I'm really excited. So we did that survey a couple weeks ago, got a bunch of feedback. And one of the takeaways we had from our Beyond the Uniform team meeting was to do a few more skills-based interviews that are not necessarily with people from the military community, but people who have expertise who could benefit the audience of Beyond the Uniform. And so I reached out right after that to a professor that I had exposure to at Stanford Business School. Her name is Maggie Neal. She teaches negotiations at Stanford Business School. She's incredible. She wrote back right away, and I'm chatting with her this week, I think, which means the episode will probably come out in July. I wanted to bring that up because if you just Google Maggie Neal, N-E-A-L, Maggie Neal, and video, or Maggie Neal and Stanford, she's got a ton of content out there about negotiations. And I am suspecting that if you have time to do a little bit of internet digging and education, you'll get more from our conversation, because we're really going to dive into aspects of negotiation specific to someone who comes from a military background. So I wanted to highlight that if you want to get a jump on that interview in July. A second thought is I talked a couple weeks ago about the book Extreme Ownership. Highly recommend it. We're trying to get Jocko or Leaf on the show. They would be incredible. And I just have this post-it note on my computer here. I keep on thinking about it. But at the end of the book, they talk about discipline equals freedom. And I have structured my life around autonomy. I work for myself. I work from home. My wife does as well. We both really prize our independence. And it's a quote that sticks with me because I think it's true. I think that as much as I love autonomy, I realize that the discipline that benefited me in the military, if I can bring that to my life, it does ultimately give me more freedom. It makes me more efficient. It makes me extract more value from things. And if you're interested in this, definitely check out Extreme Ownership. But there's also another book called Deep Work by Cal Newport. If you go to the beyondtheuniform.org website and type in deep work in the podcast section, you'll find I did a book review episode of that. It is a practice that I do fairly consistently, but it's kind of like a structure for organizing your day. It's very straightforward, but it helps me stay disciplined and focused. And so I wanted to throw that out there in case that helps you if you want to experiment with it. Third item of business, I just had a conversation a couple hours ago with Chris Malaro, who Christian Diaz recommended to the show. Really enjoyed our interview, and that's coming out mid-July, but he runs a company called Neuroflow. It is a startup. They're in the process of raising their next round of funding of $10 million, but how would I explain this? They interact with devices like Apple Watch, as well as more sophisticated medical devices, to provide information about someone's mental health and also hold people accountable and set them up for success when it comes to mental health. And I really appreciate it. I mean, he talks about how more and more now on the cutting edge of medicine, we're treating the mind and body together, that even when you have physical pain, there is the mental component of that, of which I obviously believe that pretty strongly. But I think this will be a great episode for both entrepreneurs and non-aspiring entrepreneurs. I think this interview went well in that he comes from an entrepreneurial background. I know that a decent chunk of the Beyond the Uniform audience has that aspiration, but a big component of you do not. And I think we danced a really fine line in that interview well of taking concepts that are from entrepreneurship and applying them to any career path. One of those was this willingness to fail. And I love it because Chris talks about when he starts Neuroflow, it's just they enter a business plan competition, and I'm getting ready for him to say like they loved it and they give us money. And he's like, yeah, they laughed us out of the room. And yet he comes back and keeps on trying. And I think that there's a component there that really suits veterans well, because we have discipline, we have resilience and tenacity, and making sure that you apply that in your career, regardless of what it is, whatever it is. I'm very aware, I was thinking this week, very aware right now about how in these 280 interviews, we are spotlighting some incredible people. And while that is interesting for me and for our audience and helpful to see these great examples, I realize it also sets up this expectation that's what every veteran should aspire to, or that's the norm. And it's by far not the norm. I mean, we get so many people requesting to be on the show, and very few of them make it onto the show. And I just wanted to highlight that, these stories are usually stories that involve some measure of success, but behind every success, there are thousands and thousands of failures. And you may be at a point where you're experiencing one of those failures, and to realize that that's just part of the journey, and that, Chris is a great example of that. Just thousands and thousands of failures, and we're catching him right now as the spotlight sweeps across him. We're catching him in a moment of relative success. But to realize, let's not forget the shadows that come behind that, and the challenges that we all will face, and to not expect there to be any sort of instant success or instant anything. Like almost every one of these interviews I've done, the people take longer to find their job, or they get a job that they hate, or they get a job that they're not good at, or they experience all of this just going up against the current. And I wanted to call that out. Another thing that he didn't really say this per se, but it's what I thought of and jotted down when he said it, that the thought I had in his interview is almost this sense of like, I know we're in an era where there's a lot of programs designed to help veterans, but there was something that came to me about this thought of adopting a mentality of, if someone's giving me a job because I'm a veteran, I don't want it. Like, I want to be challenged. I want to go after a job that's difficult to obtain. I want to go after a job where I am chosen because I have so much to offer. And much of that comes because I served in the military, but I'm not given the job because of that. And I know that that's something that probably resonates with most of you. I know that you're all, if you're listening to this, you're high achieving, you're wanting what's best for you, what's best for your family. I don't know, just a thought I jotted down that I wanted to share. Last note on the business side of things, we have an interview coming up with Stephen Cannon. I have not yet had this interview, but it's in 2 weeks, and I was doing a little bit of research thanks to Steve Bain, the Steve Stick Together, I guess. I'll put the link to this video in the show notes for this episode, but it's a YouTube video. It's 7 minutes long. It's called Steve Cannon Leadership Beliefs. It's really good. It's well put together. He's got some great thoughts, but one of the ones that stood out to me was he kind of ends towards the end. He has these different principles, and one of them is be present or don't show up. And he talks about it in a management concept of, if you're going to show up in a meeting with your subordinate or with your senior, like, be fully present or just don't be there. I love that from a business standpoint, because I've been in meetings where people are checking their emails and it's like, what is the point of this? But I think that that's a great philosophy for life in general. It's something I'm aspiring to and definitely don't hit the mark on, but really, you know, being present or not showing up, like giving your full attention. And he talks about in this snippet about, you know, we are in this challenging time where we have these devices constantly vying for our attention. We've got the internet, we've got a million incredible TV shows. You know, there's so much to distract us. And I don't think there's anything wrong with any of those things, but I just want to point out, like, though that combats our ability to be completely focused. It combats our ability to do what Cal Newport would call deep work. It combats our ability to be fully 100% present. And I think he does a good job of illustrating that. And I wanted to call that out in case you want to watch that video in advance of our interview. But even if not, to leave you with that thought of being, you know, being present or don't show up in whatever you're doing. So I wanted to share a couple personal notes that came up this week, and take them all with a grain of salt. And if they serve you well, great. If not, send them right on back. The first one, it comes again from Extreme Ownership. This book, I really, you know, I would encourage you to do it on audiobook. I just Leif and Jocko are such badasses, and hearing their grizzled voices, especially if you go like running or do this while you're doing some sort of physical activity, it's pretty motivating. I've been thinking about this a lot, and I think that this concept of extreme ownership works well in a variety of contexts. And I say this as someone who I have a pretty, if I'm a record, I've got a pretty well-worn groove that I can slip into of being the victim, of kind of feeling like I'm being taken advantage of, or just kind of pitying myself. And the two kind of capacities I've been thinking about this with, one of them came up on my interview with Chris today, this thought with career and with education and training of being really proactive, of exercising extreme ownership for my own professional development and education. And I do think, at least from my experience, this comes as a counterpoint to what I experienced in the military. I mean, I had training for submarines 8 hours a day when I was on land. It was just one training to the next. Anything that I needed to know, there was going to be some sort of PowerPoint training that I was spoon-fed. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I think that that's something that I had to overcome on the other side of saying, like, look, now I am 100% responsible for my own life education. Like, if I am deficient in accounting, I need to go learn that. If I'm deficient in, especially, you know, I felt this extremely on entrepreneurship, but it's any career. It's like, if I don't know about marketing, guess what? It is incumbent on me to seek out what I'm going to need, the type of learning material, the type of style, the type of instructor, the type of format that is going to be aligned to me uniquely. And I wanted to point that out as one example of extreme ownership and one that I think will challenge many of you who are still on active duty. And those of you who have transitioned, definitely let me know if you disagree with this, but I think it's a learning point for us as a community. The second one, though, is I thought of it in my marriage. I do think that, at least for me, I think relationships are the proving ground for personal development. I have this thought often where it's, at least for me, I could go through life with this pristine image of myself where I view myself as just a really great guy and, wonderful in every way. And I think I could pull that off if I was living on my own. But I think there's something about being in relationship. And by that, I mean just, you know, in a committed relationship with someone else where you're on an extended journey together. And there's something about that when you're just around someone so much more that you, at least my experience is, you're forced to see the parts of yourself that you may not like. And you're forced to see the ways in which you show up where you're not really proud of it. And it's easy, to get around that with other people. You know, I have friends and I'll see them for a few hours. It's easy to put your best foot forward, but I think there's something about relationship that you're showing up. And, you know, very often someone has seen you at your worst. They're seeing you, the whole version of you, not just the pretty, shiny, showered up and shaved part of you. And the part of this that relates to extreme ownership is, you know, I can get in this part in relationship, I imagine most people can as well, where you start to be a victim and it's like, well, my wife, Rebecca, is acting this way, or I'm so sick of this, or whatever the thing is that fires you up. And the mentality, it was literally at breakfast this morning where I kind of applied this extreme ownership, is like, right or wrong, agree with it or disagree with it, try on this mentality of like extreme ownership of like, I am 100% responsible for whatever dynamic I have in my relationship. If I don't like something, I am fully responsible for it. I have allowed this to brew. I have shown up in a way that's created this. There's something about the way that I'm behaving that invites this dynamic that drives me crazy. And the reason that I like that is I, you know, literally at breakfast, I was feeling fired up about something. God knows what it was. But when I adopted this mentality, it was like, all right, like, what can I do to shift this? What can I do? It made me as reactive as the victim to proactive of like, oh, maybe there is something about me that I'm showing up in this way. Maybe there's some way that I'm viewing things. It just shifted me in a way that made me feel light, like I just cast off 50 pounds and was, you know, it made me feel responsible for things in a positive way. And I wanted to throw those out as two different examples of extreme ownership that have benefited me. I hope they benefit you as well. Another one is I listened to this audiobook last week. It's about this... let me look this up because I feel embarrassed that I listened to this entire book and I can't even remember the lady's name. She's a world-class triathlete. She's done Kona, the Ironman triathlon, and finished first among women six or seven years. It's called Life Without Limits, Chrissy Wellington. And she talked about before each race, she reads If by Rudyard Kipling. And it's something I've heard on and off. And if you Google If Kipling, Michael Caine was Alfred in Batman Begins, all of those movies, famous actor. He reads it. It's pretty freaking great. It's like 2 minutes long. You're feeling down, that'll fire you up. But I watched that video this morning. I was thinking about that. And the phrase, you know, it's very short. You can read it in a minute. But the phrase that stuck with me was jumping in the middle of here, but it says, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them out up with worn out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. I thought that was really powerful because, you know, I think that we all have our own struggles. One, that for me, you know, I started a company 10 years ago and raised a lot of money and hired a bunch of people and had many of them quit or fired and just went through that roller coaster dozens of times. And for me, this is this maybe reoccurring friction point in my life where in some ways it's this startup that I started that has afforded me a great life. And in many ways, I aspired to, you know, be bought for oodles of money or go public, like had these maybe delusions of grandeur, but it's this controversial part of my professional life that I revisit. It's like this multifaceted diamond that every, you know, time I look at it, it takes a different shape. And I see both virtue and shortfalls and both pride and shame. It's this very nuanced experience for me. But I love that phrase. I'm just going to raise it one more time. And he says, if you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it in one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. I just love that. Like what I take away from that is, you know, in my case, yeah, if you can build up all of this, you can throw your life into starting a company. And then, you know, maybe in the extreme, you lose everything. But if you could approach that and start again start from scratch and never breathe a word, like not bitch and moan about it, not complain. I love that other part too, or watch the things you've gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. Both of those to me conjure this thought of just investing yourself fully in something, be it a career path, be it some sort of hobby, some sort of artistic pursuit, some sort of a relationship. If you can invest yourself absolutely fully and then have that thing destroyed, you lose that job, that company falls apart, the relationship falls apart, the person dies, like whatever it is, if you can do that and lose it and yet find a way to pick yourself up and reinvest and redo it again and try it again and learn, like that's, you're unstoppable. Like that is, you are literally unstoppable. If you, life gives you everything and you're beaten down and you get up again, there's something powerful about that. And I wanted to bring that up on both a personal note and professional note, but I don't know where you all are. Maybe you are in the midst of a transition in your career or in your life or in your relationship. And maybe you're at one of those low points right now, one of those crucible experiences. I hope you will take the time to read that poem. If I think it's like tremendous wisdom in there, but that point I hope comes through to you of having the courage to pick it up and to move forward again, open-heartedly to pursue something with vigor again, and not let that loss dissuade you. Two more things. One is two more things. So one is, I don't know how to explain this, but my wife and I have a 4-month-old son, Bodhi. And one thing that came to me is like, you know, many of you have kids, I imagine, and you get it, right? It's freaking exhausting. I'm like 4 months into this, right? And sleep deprived, all of that stuff. But I bring it up because in the last 2 or 3 weeks, there's been multiple times where I work with an executive coach, or I'm like talking to a friend and I'm beating myself up about something, right? Like I missed a workout, or I'm not as focused at work as I want to be, or whatever else. And they point out to me, they're like, and by the way, you have a 4-month-old son right now. Like what, like give yourself a little bit of leeway right here to not be perfect. And each time it is kind of like this jolting me out of a dream. It's like, oh yeah, okay, I guess that's going on. I guess I am actually pretty exhausted. And I bring that up because, you know, again, for those of you who may be transitioning out of the military, maybe you transitioned in your midst of changing to a new job or a new role. I'm aware right now of how we can sometimes overlook or diminish, I think especially the military community, we can diminish whatever it is we're going through and just kind of assume like, whatever, I can get through anything. And I would just kind of challenge you again to take a little bit of a step back and give yourself some room here and just allow yourself to be honest as if you were talking to a friend. If one of your good buddies came to you and they are going through something in their life, and you know, what would you say to them? My guess is you would give them some encouragement and remind them of what's going well and give them some inspiration. And if you can adopt that for yourself, I think especially as veterans, sometimes we can be easier and more supportive of others than to ourselves. We can sometimes be our worst critics or even worst enemies. If you're in one of those transitions, I would encourage you to try to, you know, view yourself as you might view your friend and give yourself the advice you might give a friend. And I'm guessing that that's going to be to give yourself a little bit of room. And I think that when I talk with people about this, sometimes there's the fear, I certainly experience it myself, the fear that if I back off, I'm just going to be a couch potato. If I just give myself a little bit of room, I'm not going to achieve as much as I might otherwise. And I would definitely encourage you to experiment with that and challenge that, because I don't think that's true. I think that generally when we're in a positive place, I love that phrase, happy cows produce good milk. You know, generally, I feel like when people are in a good spot and they feel good about themselves, they do their best work. So, you know, I hope that makes sense to at least some of you, that thought of just giving yourself a little bit of room. Last one is, this is definitely off-roading. I had a coaching session this afternoon. I'm kind of using you and this podcast to kind of think through half-baked ideas. But the thing is, if you've listened to the last couple Saturday episodes or maybe the last couple months, I feel like I'm in this place of not knowing. And I think we all experience this at multiple periods in our life and career. For me, it is having a son. I changed jobs recently. We moved into a new house relatively recently. We moved from San Francisco to Denver. Lots of transitions in my life. And, you know, approaching 40, I'm at that age of reorientation and kind of reevaluating life. And there's something there in these places of not knowing where there's a power in moving towards something rather than moving away. I had a conversation with a friend earlier this week. We were talking about that. And I'm very grateful. The last place of work that I was at, I felt like I was moving towards something I was excited about in getting back into entrepreneurship rather than moving away from something that I didn't like. So I think that there's a lot of good in having that goal and moving towards something. But I think that there's a lot of value in not knowing. And it's, for me, a place of extreme discomfort. And I imagine part of that comes from the military. There was, even though the military is a place of incredible, at least my experience, there is a lot of ambiguity. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's also a tremendous amount of certainty in knowing my career progression, knowing my pay, there's just a lot that I did know in the military. And there's a part of me that really wants to know, that really wants certainty. And so this place of not knowing, the next career move, the next life move, that can be a place for me, at least, that's very uncomfortable. And if you've listened to other Saturday episodes, there was one after the men's group retreat where I talked about mud time and how I'm taking a portion of time every day to sit in the mud, metaphorically speaking, and that is to sit in a place of not knowing without distraction. And for me, that looks like having a journal and not journaling, but sitting out and, ideally at a park or outside and just making space to just think about what I want and not distracting myself with my phone or my email or a million other things that I just distract myself with, like sitting in the mud, being honest about not knowing, and then seeing what ideas come. And then, writing down a few notes, but not, journaling could even in that environment become the thing that I'm doing, could be the distraction. But I wanted to throw out one other thought. And again, this is half-baked. So I'm doing this year-long men's group program through a guy named John Wineland. JohnWineland.com, definitely check it out. He's a really incredible guy. So we have these every week or every other week, we have kind of video calls with the 50 guys in this program. And the last call was led by a guy somewhat controversial named David Data. He wrote a book called The Way of the Superior Man, which I won't throw out for our book club, but it is worthwhile to read this book, and it will probably trigger you, and you will probably not like about half of it, and that might actually be the point of reading it. But David was on the call. He's kind of like a world-recognized author and expert on the subject of kind of modern masculinity, and I don't even know how to describe him. But what he had said, I'll kind of share what he said and then kind of how I apply this to career or this place of not knowing. So he was talking about relationship, and what he said, and I think this is great for relationship, he said, he was talking with someone who was talking about a conflict with their wife, and what he said was, hey man, what if you just assumed that your wife is showing up in a way that really irritates you. She is doing something that really rubs you the wrong way, or there is something that you dislike about her in that moment. And so what he said is, hey, what if you took this mindset? What if you assumed that she is going to be stuck in this place for the next 80 years? This, whatever she's doing, she is not going to change for the next 80 years. And your practice for the next 80 years is to be with it and to let that response start right now. Assuming she will be this way forever, and the vehicle of your practicing to become a better human being is to be able to be with her when she's in that way that you don't like, and not try and change her, not try and expect her to change, not try and make her wrong, but view it as like, okay, this is my curriculum today. My road, my pathway to being a better human being is to learn how to be with my wife when she's being in this way that I find just really annoying. And I think that's like an incredible thought, first of all. I just think that's like an incredible mindset because, you know, I personally believe that, which is a great quote about relationships. It's, we all marry someone we have irreconcilable differences. We have differences that will never be resolved. And so like you're choosing to be with someone in spite of that. And that's its own practice in itself. But the way that I view that, and again, apologies if this is not as coherent as I'd like it to be, but it's almost like going back to this thought of not knowing. You know, the one of the insights I had from this career coach is like, man, what if I approach my career right now as if I may not know with absolute clarity my passion and ultimate career path and ultimately the way I want to impact the world, I might not know it the rest of my life. And what if that is my career, is not having certainty, it's not having complete clarity, but it's showing up day in and day out fully. It's showing up fully present, showing up giving my best, showing up being honest about what I'm experiencing and what I need to do, showing up every day, figuring out what it is I need to learn in that moment to grow, showing up and finding that balance between my work and my life and my family and all these other things, and knowing that I'll never have the clarity that I deserve, wow, that was a Freudian slip, the clarity that I desire. And I like this because, you know, I think I am envious of those people who at least claim like, hey, you know, from age 5, I knew I wanted to be a doctor, or from age 10, I knew I wanted to be a lawyer. Or even, you know, when I talk with Chris today at Neuroflow, it seems like he's found his life's calling. He is trying to do good in the world. And there's maybe 4 or 5 people I can think of out of 280 interviews from Beyond the Uniform who it just seemed to me like they had found a calling versus a career or a job. And I don't really feel like I have found that. And there's definitely some sense that I feel like I should have that or I want that. But it was an interesting mindset for me to try on today. Again, not saying this is right or wrong, but I love this thought of trying on mindsets to see the impact it has on me, to see how it shifts my energy, how it shifts my perspective, how it shifts my drive and my motivation and inspiration. And it was something that really clicked well for me that I want to play around with the next week is just approaching that. Like, man, maybe I'm going to be in the mud for the next decade. Maybe as much as I want to have the clouds part and the sun to shine and to know that this is the path and to have that certainty, maybe all I get today is one step and I don't even know where it leads. Maybe this whole path is just misty. They have no idea where it's going, up or down, left or right. But I got a glimpse of what that next foot looks like. And so today, I'm going to take that step. Today, I'm going to fully invest in moving forward in that direction. And maybe I zigzag, maybe I move around, maybe it's not efficient, maybe it's not streamlined, but I can at least say that I'm going to really show up and honor that step and do all that I can do. And I bring that up because I imagine that some of you are in that period of not knowing. You might not be knowing whether you want to stay in the military or whether you want to get out. You may be out of the military and not knowing what job you want to do. You might be in a relationship and not knowing if that's what you want. You may be thinking about having kids. You may be in the military and not sure which duty station to take next. There is no amount of uncertainty in any of our lives. And I think at least for me, the temptation is to try to power through that, to push through. Like, I'm going to fucking figure this out. I'm going to grin and do whatever it takes to get through this. And I think that sometimes that may be the right answer. And I think that sometimes it may not. And it might take more strength and courage and discipline and determination to stay in that state of not knowing, to kind of stay and embrace that void, that nothingness, and to just kind of be okay without knowing. And I imagine, again, this is especially difficult for many of us with a military background because there can be extreme consequences to not knowing, to not being decisive, to not taking action. they talk about in entrepreneurship that one of the most important things is a bias towards action. And, you know, I heavily identify as an entrepreneur, and I can see that in veterans as well. Like we have mostly we idle higher. We have a bias towards action. And I want to just kind of, if any of this resonates with you, to really challenge you to be okay without action. You know, think of that, the guy in the gym who's like freaking works out his calves. He's got like super ripped calves and the rest of them's weak. It's like, dude, you don't want to be that dude. Or the guy who's like all upper body strength and has no lower body strength. It's like, you don't want to have just one muscle super defined and nothing else. It's just weird. And it's like that too. Like, we develop this muscle of action. We develop this muscle of knowing and confidence and moving. And to slip into that state of saying, okay, I'm going to strengthen this muscle of not knowing, of being uncomfortable and waiting and taking the time to figure out what's right, whatever that might be for you. So apologies if that didn't make sense. There's something in there, but I'm working through it. I appreciate letting me work through it with you. I will be back Monday and Thursday. Even we've got an episode lined up for July 4th. And it's a good one. But yeah, we've got episodes lined up. We're starting to crank out even more. And keep the feedback coming. Hope this helps you, and we'll see you Monday.